Hello and welcome to Living Hope. This is Pastor Staten, and I want to welcome everybody that is joining us today. A shout out to our e-family, all of you that are joining us through the internet. I want to remind you, every Sunday morning you can join us live at tv.livinghopemd.com. I pray that today's message blesses you and that you enjoy the word as it is shared today.
I'm so lost to be found, and I know it's in my mind.
Go ahead and dismiss our elements class, and we're going to get ready to move into Bible study tonight. Amen. We're going to turn to the book of Genesis, chapter 18. We're going to read a few verses and then kind of look a little bit deeper into this story. I would say, I know last Wednesday I did a study on the responsibility of the pastor to the saints and the responsibility of the saints to the pastor. And if you weren't able to be here last Wednesday, I would encourage you to listen to it. Go back or watch it, I guess, whichever one you'd rather do. I think it'll be profitable for the church body. I think it really talks about church government and spiritual authority. For a look at Hebrews 13 and kind of fleshing that out. So again, I'm not saying that because it was me teaching. If it was somebody else teaching, I would still encourage you to listen to it because I think it's profitable for the church. Amen? Genesis 18 and 20. Good job on the drums, Brother Jarrell, and the bass. Brother Eric's one of those guys that you love him, but he makes you sick because he does everything good. Right. I got to concentrate to do one thing good. He just does everything good. Genesis 18 and 20, the Lord said, because of the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great, because their sin is very grievous, I will go down now and see whether they have done altogether according to the cry of it, which is, come unto me, and if not, I will know. The men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom, but Abraham stayed. Abraham stayed. He stood yet before the Lord. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Peradventure there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for the 50 righteous that are therein? That be far from thee to do after this manner. Saying, God, that's not in your character. That's not in your nature to slay the righteous with the wicked. That the righteous should be as the wicked, that be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? The Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak to the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure, there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for the lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him yet again and said, peradventure, there shall be 40 found there. And he said, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak peradventure. There shall be 30 found there. And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 righteous there. And he said, behold, now I have taken it upon me to speak of the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 20 righteous. And he said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet but this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. The Lord said, I will not destroy it for the sake of 10 righteous. And the Lord went his way, and as soon as he had left communing with Abraham, and Abraham returned unto his place. Amen. I want to talk to us tonight from this passage and looking into chapter 19 as well. Amen. About what it takes to save a city. All right. It's not a catchy title, but what it takes to save a city. Amen. The Lord bless you. You can be seated. As we begin reading in Genesis chapter 18, we find this famed conversation and negotiation between God and Abraham, where God reveals to Abraham his grievance with the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. The Lord tells Abraham, the cry of these cities has come up before me. Their sin is very grievous. I will go down and see if the report of their wickedness is as grievous as I have heard. Abraham recognizes from the tone and the tenor of the Almighty that the wrath of God is about to be poured out upon the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And without hesitation, righteous Abraham, the friend of God, begins to barter and plead with God for the salvation of Sodom and Gomorrah. His question, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? And then he begins to inquire of the Lord. He starts at 50, and then he moves down to 45. And he says, you know what, we can't keep going by fives. We're going to be here for a while. So he starts going by tens, 40, 30, 20, all the way down to 10. And that's where they stop. Every time that Abraham presses the Lord, Abraham begins to press the Lord to lower the metric of extending mercy. Abraham begs and pleads with the Lord to pardon. And he begins even, I would say, to beg the Lord's pardon as he presses a little bit further. I think Abraham knows that he is putting his credibility on the line and he wants to be careful. Anybody ever been in negotiation? Maybe even with your spouse, you're trying to negotiate. Hey, man, maybe I could go play basketball with the guys, or you know, maybe I could go play golf, and the budget's a little bit tight, and but we know we're pressing it, so we're very careful because we know we're starting to push our luck. And so Abram finally comes to the place where he realizes, I've pushed as far as I'm going to push. I put my integrity, I put my credibility on the line as far as I can go, and he recognizes 10 is as low a number as we're going to be able to go. And so the number stops at 10. The Lord agrees, if I can find 10 righteous, I will not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if I can find 10 righteous. But I don't believe that the number stops at 10 simply because Abraham is apprehensive that he's pressing his luck. But I believe that there are some principles in play in regard to what it takes to save a city. I think 10 was as low as God was going to go because there's some things that have to be in place for a city to be saved. God wasn't going to continue to go because there's some principles that we need to look at, that God is not going to save a city without some things being in play that have got to be in play, whether it's Sodom and Gomorrah or Southern Maryland. Amen? That God is not going to save a city without some principles being in play. So I begin with this question. Was it God's will for Lot to move his family into Sodom and Gomorrah? I don't know that there's an answer to that. I don't know that we can find the right answer. I will say that most commentaries are emphatic that the answer was no. It was not God's will. David Guzik's commentary on the matter says this, that there was a steady progression of compromise in Lot's life. Genesis 13:10, Lot, the Bible says he looks towards Sodom. Genesis 13:12 says he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Finally, the Bible tells us that he is found living in Sodom. The last place we find Lot, he is actually sitting in the gates of the city of Sodom, indicating that he was a civic leader within that community. So basically what Guzik is saying is Lot should not have been there. It was a digression. It was compromise on Lot's part. It was him looking at cities that the Bible declared were wicked, and because Lot's eyes were turned toward the wickedness of that city, his heart followed after that, simply saying that commentary says Lot should never have been there with his family. The Bible Knowledge commentary states, as long as the Lord left Lot alone, he would seek to profess faith while at the same time living in Sodom. All right, as long as God was not there, as long as God was not really active, Lot was okay having some form of faith but still living in Sodom. Ultimately, Lot could not have both. Sodom would have destroyed him if the Lord had not destroyed Sodom. All right, that's the Bible Knowledge commentary. Again, I think echoing the opinion that Lot, it was not the will of God for Lot to live in Sodom and Gomorrah. John MacArthur's commentary from his study Bible in Genesis 13:12 says this, Lot's decision put him in dangerous proximity to cities whose names would become a byword for perversion and unbridled wickedness. I could read more commentaries. I didn't find one that said it was the will of God for Lot to move into Sodom and Gomorrah. I think the opinion is emphatically Lot had no business being there. I understand that it was great risk to his family. I understand that Sodom was sinful. Gomorrah was grievously wicked. But if a city is going to be saved, somebody has got to go. Amen? I know, unpopular opinion. I'm going against the grain of every commentary. But if Sodom and Gomorrah were going to be saved, somebody has got to go into that city and say, we will be the ones to stand for righteousness. When God starts the conversation with Abraham and they start at 50 and they make their way all the way down to 10, do you want to know why there's even hope for 10? Because Lot was living in that city. If Lot and his family had not lived in that city, there would have been no point in even bartering to begin with. Amen. The only hope that a city has of salvation is that there's got to be a righteous people that will stand within that city. Romans 10 and 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And I don't care whether it's Sodom and Gomorrah or it's St. Mary's County, Southern Maryland, Lexington Park, Great Mills, California, the fact still remains that a city cannot be saved if there is not somebody that will be sent to go into that city. Can I tell you why there's hope for salvation in Southern Maryland? Because there's a righteous people in this city. It doesn't matter who you elect. It doesn't matter who the next governor is. It doesn't matter who the senator is. It doesn't matter who gets elected into the White House. The hope for salvation of this city doesn't rest on any of those. It rests on the fact that there's a righteous people in this community, and we are the hope of salvation for this city. I believe that at the foundation of why the lowest that Abraham could barter and bargain with God, the reason God would not go any longer is because it takes a righteous family to bring salvation to a city. Abraham convinces God, spare these cities if you're only able to find 10 righteous within. Now it's important to note, so I'm going to kind of leave it there and then we're going to dig in a little bit deeper. It's important to note that among commentaries, there's some debate as to the size of Lot's family. All right, Genesis 19 and 7 tells us that Lot has two daughters that are virgins. And then verse 14 tells us he has two daughters that are married. All right, now there's, I guess, two different schools of thought as to whether those are the same two daughters. So the way that the commentaries would explain that is that these daughters were what we would call today engaged. So they weren't yet actually married. So that's how they could be both married and virgins at the same time, is because they were only engaged. All right? On the other hand, most commentaries say that there were two. And now here's the other part. Let me bring this out. That when Lot leaves Sodom and Gomorrah, anybody know how many daughters go with Lot? Two. So that's why some would say he only had two daughters. However, there's another school of thought, which I think has more credence, and that is that Lot had two daughters that were at home with him still, and two daughters that were married. He had four daughters in total, but yet when he left Sodom and Gomorrah, only two of them were with him. So, let's go to the math now. We have Lot, we have his wife. We have, let's say, four daughters. That's six. And then two son-in-laws. So let's include them. You've got eight. You got eight, right? So you got eight. That's 80% of what was needed for salvation to come to Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. That's a long way toward what you need. If that family could have just remained righteous, you've got 80% of what you need to bring to salvation to that city. Tonight, what I'm saying is that salvation begins when a righteous family steps into a city. Amen. It's a great starting point. When you have a righteous family living in a city, I didn't say it's everything, but it's a starting point. When you have a righteous family, when you have a righteous group of people, let me expand that and say when you have a righteous church in the middle of a city, amen, a righteous church is the foundation of salvation for a city. Now, the neighbors might not have known this, but the best day they ever had in Sodom and Gomorrah was the day that Lot brought his righteous family into that city. Amen. I know I'm going against the grain of every commentary, and you may be of the opinion they shouldn't have moved there. But the only hope Sodom and Gomorrah had for salvation was that Lot brought his righteous family into that city, and it gave them hope of salvation. The neighborhood you live in, the best day that neighborhood ever had was the day that a righteous family moved into that neighborhood. Amen. You are the hope of salvation for your community. You are the hope of salvation for your neighborhood. Amen. If you stand for God and you abide by His word and you are trying to live a righteous, overcoming life, you are hope of salvation for that community. When God calls a righteous family into a city, it is the beginning of salvation for that city. That's why today, what's under attack? Families are under attack, and righteousness is under attack. Because the enemy knows if you can get both of those together, if you can get a righteous family in a city, you've got a long way toward saving that community. You've got a long way toward the judgment of God being withheld off of that community. That's why we've got to fight back for both of those. That's why we say every Sunday we are a family of believers that exist to build strong families. It's no different today than it was for Lot. The enemy is doing everything he can to destroy families and everything he can to denigrate righteousness. 2 Peter 2 and 7 tells us that at one time Lot had been righteous, but he was daily vexed by the wicked conversation around him. I don't think the problem was that righteous Lot moved into Sodom and Gomorrah any more than I don't think God's calling us to be some separatist community that we all move out and buy 100 acres and we all live, you know, secluded lives, and we don't live around people around us, and we just kind of live separate from it. That's not what God gave us the Holy Ghost for. Amen. But let me tell you, the danger is, just like Lot and his family, that they allowed the wicked world to change the way that they lived rather than them changing the way that the wicked world around them lived. Amen. It isn't just the fact that we're a family that gives hope to a community. It's the fact that we are a righteous family, that we're not living like the rest of the world around us. Amen. That we're not thinking like the rest of the world around. There's something different about me. What's different about me is that I'm righteous, that I'm living in accordance with the Word of God. The Bible says it this way: what good is it if the salt has lost its savor? It's good for nothing but to be cast out and trod underfoot. That's what happened to Lot and his family when they moved into that city. You've got an 80% toward a salvation of a city if Lot and his family would have simply remained righteous. I think we can very easily deduct by looking at the actions in Genesis 19 to understand that there weren't even 8 righteous living under Lot's roof. If we got to get to 10, we don't even have 8 living in the preacher's home. Lot passionately pleads with his sons-in-law to flee with him, to flee from this city. And the Bible says that to them, Lot seemed as one that mocked. The preacher sounded like it was just a big joke to them. They couldn't even take him serious. They took Lot's righteous admonition as a big joke. I'm talking about the 8, the ones that are supposed to be the bastion of hope for that city. Amen. Listen, if you're a part of the church, the preacher ought not to be a joke to you. Amen. When the preacher and the man of God gets up and begins to declare the word of God, we need to understand there's a seriousness in the tenor of the word of God. Amen. That's what brings hope to our city. Amen. There's got to be a righteousness in our spirit. Again, if Lot has 4 daughters, if that's true, 2 of them don't make the trip with him. Well, that's not the end of it. Lot's own wife, they finally do get out of the city, and she's caught looking back towards Sodom and Gomorrah. She's wishing she could go back, and we know the Bible says she's turned into a pillar of salt. That would be bad enough if that were the end of the story. But finally, Lot and his 2 daughters do make it out of the city, and they end up in a cave in the mountains somewhere. Those daughters get their own father drunk and they become impregnated by their own father. I think we would all agree that is the exponential power of perversion right there. Amen. Why? Because that righteous family that God had set aside to be the hope of a city, that God had set aside to be the beginning of salvation, they became more like their world day after day. Amen. Living Hope, I know the pressure is on today to become more worldly. I know the pressure is on for us to become wicked like the world around us. But it's not doing our world any favors if we become more like them. We are the hope of salvation for our city. Amen. You becoming like the world doesn't bring them any hope. At the end of the day, what's going to bring hope to our world is a righteous church. It's a righteous people. I didn't say perfect. If it was perfect, well, too late. We done messed up. There's no hope. Righteous means that we're covered in His righteousness. We've had the blood of Jesus applied to our lives. And this book is the supreme authority in our life. That's what it means to be righteous. Doesn't mean that you're perfect. That doesn't mean you have it all together. It means that we're striving to live under the authority of the Word of God. And we're striving to follow in the steps as God orders our steps. A family that puts down stakes in a city and says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I can't speak for my neighbors. I can't speak for my coworkers. I don't know what they're doing. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. I know statistics might come out that say, you know what, 75% of people don't think anything's wrong with fornicating and sex outside of marriage. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. A family that takes up residence within the circumference of a city and declares, come hell or high water, we are going to serve the Lord. We are the hope of salvation for our city. For those of you that are waiting for the righteous stand of this church to wear down, would we just keep on waiting? Pastor, sooner or later, he's going to let up. Let me just tell you, it's not going to happen. All right, I'm not interested in becoming more like the world. I'm not interested in thinking more like the world, talking more like the world. I'm not interested in that because the hope of our city is our righteousness. The hope of this community is the righteousness of the people of God. I've made up my mind if I'm the last man standing, if everybody else leaves and you all go somewhere else, if everybody else decides we're just going to compromise with Sodom and Gomorrah, well, I'm still going to be here and I'm still going to be doing my best to be righteous before God. Amen. Thank God 42 years ago, God brought a righteous family. I didn't have much to do with it. I was just in the U-Haul truck. Amen. But I'm going to tell you, the best day in the history of St. Mary's County wasn't the Ark of the Dove. It was when that Pinto pulled in to St. Mary's County 42 years ago. And a man began preaching the gospel in this city. A man began preaching righteousness in this community. I know right now people may not even know we exist, but I'm going to tell you, we're still the best gift God's ever given to this community because we bring righteousness into this city. But today, it's not just one righteous family, it's a righteous church. Amen. It's a people of God that are doing your best Sunday after Sunday and Wednesday after Wednesday. We come together and iron sharpens iron, and we encourage one another, and we go back out to this world and we do our very best to be salt and light to our world. Amen. And I just want to say tonight, thank God for a righteous church. Thank God for righteous families. But I don't think God would have come down to 8 because a righteous family wasn't enough. And it's got to be 10. And Lot, even if your whole family's righteous, even if them son-in-laws that just married your daughters, Shaq, even if they're righteous, all right? If the whole family's righteous, that's not enough to save your city. Amen, because a righteous church, the fact that we are righteous is not enough to save our city. I don't care if we're perfect, if everybody in this building cumulatively, if we never created or acted in another sinful manner, it's still not enough to save this city. Amen, because it's never been God's intention that we become a holy huddle. It's never been God's intention that we come and exist in some kind of Pentecostal bubble where we all just come together and we're in some little think tank where we all just say the same things. That's not what's going to save our city. If we came to church and every last one of us in this building tonight, and I'm naive enough to believe that maybe that's true, that everybody in this building is righteous and holy, and you're living overcoming lives. But if even if that is true, if everybody in this room is righteous, and that's all that's happening, it's not enough to save our city. As much as righteousness matters, if Lot and his family had been righteous, had their righteous souls not been distressed by the wickedness of Sodom and Gomorrah, it would not have been enough to save Sodom and Gomorrah. Because we got to get to 10 and there's only 8 of you. You know what? You want to know what it takes? Yes, it takes at a foundation. It takes a righteous church. But that's not enough. We've also got to be a reaching church. Amen. 8 is not enough. We've got to get to 10. And the only way we're going to get to 10 is I've got to reach somebody. Amen. It's not enough for us to just come together and be righteous Sunday after Sunday. We've got to be a reaching church. But the peoples, we got to reach for Mike. Amen. Sister Lawrence, help me. We got to reach for that. Say it again. Demetria. We got to reach. That's two. If we're all righteous and we can get Mike and we can get Demetria, hey, guess what? We've got 10 now. Amen. If everybody in this room could reach the neighbor living on the right of you and the neighbor living on the left of you. That's what it takes to save a city. It's not enough to be a righteous church. We've got to be a reaching church. Now, it does little good to reach if we're not first righteous. There's plenty of churches that are reaching, but last week, the United Methodist Church passed that now it's okay for their ministry to be homosexual. What's happening? Sodom and Gomorrah is making its way into the church. Amen. So yes, we've got to have a foundation of righteousness. But it also does little good if at our foundation we're righteous, but we're not reaching. The enemy's not concerned about a church that we all just get together and we're good, perfect little Christians, but we're not doing anything to impact our community. Guess what we're not doing? We're not bringing salvation to our city. And so God is saying tonight, I want to save your city. But I've got to find me a righteous church, and I've got to find me a reaching church. If Lot's kids would have just won 2 friends at Gomorrah High, not gone to Gomorrah and gotten high, but if they would have gone to Gomorrah High and won 2 friends. I was at the church I was at this last week. Still ain't no church like Living Hope. But on Friday night, they had youth service, and I preached their youth service, and that week they had 78 students in their P7 clubs. What's that? It's Bible studies in their school. 78 kids attended their P7 clubs. You know what that is? That's a reaching church. We need a righteous youth group that will first of all get righteous, and then we got to start reaching. Why? Because judgment is coming. Amen. The day of the Lord is coming. I don't want my city to be lost. I want my city to be saved. If Lot's wife, instead of looking back, would have looked around before judgment came, instead of waiting till after judgment and looking back on what she was missing out on, if she would have taken time to look around and seen the neighbor on the left of her or the neighbor on the right of her and taught them a Bible study, it would have been an entirely different matter. There would have been 10 saved in that city, and Sodom and Gomorrah would have been spared, because we've got to be a reaching church, reaching our community, reaching the broken, reaching the hurting, reaching the perishing, reaching. Oh, Pastor, that's not for me. I'm righteous. I got it all together now, Pastor. I'm finally reached that place where I've overcome all my temptations. I feel like I'm a good Christian now, finally, Pastor. Well, thank God you're a good Christian now, but that's not doing our world any favors. That's not helping our city any at all. Yes, it has to start there. But God, would you make this church contagious again? God, would you let something contagious get into us? Amen. That I want my city to be saved. I want my city to be saved, so I've got to reach. I got to reach. Go into the highways, the Bible says, and go into the byways and compel them to come. Amen. I pray that this summer that God would do something in the spirit of this church and that God would make us contagious again. Why? Because a righteous church and a reaching church is the kind of church that brings salvation to its community. In my opinion, one of the saddest commentaries of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and there's a lot sad about it, but in my opinion, as a preacher, perhaps the most vexing and perplexing quality of this entire story is that when God comes down to look for an intercessor, when God comes down and says, who am I going to find that will pray for this city? He doesn't go to Lot. He doesn't go to the preacher that's living in that city. He goes over to the plains of Mamre. And he finds Abraham there. Listen to the exact words of Abraham when Abraham begins to barter with God. The Bible says God lets him in, says, Abraham, I'm getting ready to go down to Sodom and Gomorrah. I've been hearing a lot of bad things about those cities. I've heard that they're wicked. I'm going to go down and see if that's true. And here's Lot engages him in conversation. The Bible says Lot draws near to him. Now, first of all, I would preface that by saying that there were two angels that were there with Lot as well. And those angels heard the same report that Lot did. And the Bible said that even the angels started off towards Sodom and Gomorrah. I think they already knew. They knew it's a done deal. Judgment is coming. But thank God there was an Abraham that even with the angels left for Sodom and Gomorrah, the Bible says Abraham stayed there before God. Abraham stood there and said, I'm not going to give up on my city that easy. I'm not going to let them go that easy. I'm not going down without a fight. I'm not going down without a prayer. I'm not going down with... Some of you might be ready to give up on Southern Maryland, but I'm not giving up on this city and this community. I know there's plenty of people today ready to throw in the towel and give up on the United States of America, but I'm not giving up without a fight. Amen. I believe that it's still worth praying for. I believe it's still worth interceding. Is there somebody that will remain? Is there somebody that will stand there? Is there somebody that even when the angels have left, I'm not leaving because I'm believing that God is not finished with my city yet? Dad, way back when you were pastor, you felt like God had given you a promise of 10,000 souls. And I think I inherited that. God, through different men in Pharaoh, began to, I think, reiterate that we were going to have a 10,000 soul revival. And I recognize that there may be many of you that have given up on that. And yeah, that's never going to happen. But I want to be like Abraham and say, I'm not giving up on that promise. Amen. God, I believe, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I believe you're going to do it. I'm not giving up. We need some intercessors in this hour. We need some intercessors that still care about Sodom and Gomorrah. We need some intercessors that still say, this is my city. This is my place. He says, wilt thou destroy and not spare this place? This place. This place. Amen. Lot, I'm jumping ahead of myself a little bit right now, but I find it odd that when the angels finally come to Sodom and Gomorrah and they let Lot know the news that they're getting ready to destroy these cities, Lot doesn't put up a fight at all. Abraham barters. Lot doesn't say anything. He doesn't push back at all. There's no 45, 40, 30, 20, 10 in Lot, nothing. However, when Lot gets delivered outside of Sodom and Gomorrah, amen. And the angels begin to tell him, you're going to go to the mountain. He says no, because they say everything else is going to be destroyed. Now Lot begins to barter with them. And Lot says, hey, just let me go live in a... He begins to barter for insignificance. He begins to barter for a place he can't even make an impact. Amen. Can I tell you, I wish Lot, if you're going to argue for something, argue for the place God called you. Don't go barter for some place you can't even make a difference. Child of God living in this community, God called you here because you can make a difference. Don't weasel out of that and go chase after some place you can't even make a difference. I've lived in this community most of my life. I have influence here. I have influence here. If I don't, after 48 years, or well, not 41 years of living here, I've been doing some things wrong. I graduated from high school here. Amen. I've tipped the waiters in the restaurants well here. I've got influence. Why would I not plead with God for this community where I've got influence and instead go chase after some place where I don't even have influence? Amen. God, I pray that you would put a burden in the heart of the people of this church that, God, you put me here for this time and this season, and now I'm going to barter and I'm going to plead and I'm going to beg for revival in this city. God said, when I needed somebody to barter, I had to go somewhere else. I had to go over the plains of Mamre because I couldn't find anybody in the place that had a burden for the place. To me, saddest thing. And there's a lot sad. Sad when the angels come and the men of the city try to take advantage of those angels. And Lot says, here, have my children. As a father, I can't fathom that. A dad saying, here, take my daughters. See, when you've been overcome by wickedness, amen, you'll start sacrificing your children. You'll start giving your children over to the wicked things of this world when you've been overcome by wickedness. I can't even comprehend that. Amen. But I want to say tonight, amen, that God is raising up in this hour, yes, a righteous church, yes, a reaching church. But I also believe in this hour God is going to raise up some people in this church that will get a burden for this place, that God will give you a burden for this city and for this community. Amen. That I'm going to plead, I'm going to barter, I'm going to beg. God, you told us you were giving us a 10,000 soul revival. I'm not leaving until you give it to me. I pray, God, when you need an intercessor, I pray you don't have to go find a pastor up the road. I hope that I'll be willing to fight for this city. Amen. God, when you need somebody to get out of bed in the middle of the night and pray, I hope you don't just say, well, that guy, he don't care about this place. He don't care about this place. He's got his eyes on insignificant things. I'm not going to mess with him. Let me go find an Abraham. I pray that God would be able to find in this church people that are willing to intercede for our city and our community. No matter how bad it looks, Abraham won't settle. No matter how bad it looks, I'm going to keep fighting. 50, 45, I know you ain't going to find that many. 40, probably not going to find that many. 30, maybe. Let's just keep on pushing, because I'm going to do whatever it takes to see a revival in my community. I'm going to do whatever it takes to see salvation come to this. And that is my philosophy. I'm going to do whatever it takes for this church to have revival. Pastor, you're always changing things up. You know why? Because I'm going to do whatever it takes for this church to have revival. I'm not going to stop. Well, we don't like how much change is going on. Then find you another pastor, because I'm not going to stop until we find what works. I'm not going to stop until we can reach every soul in this city. Amen. Why? Because I'm the man that God has positioned here to be righteous, to be reaching, and to be interceding for this city. Here's the beautiful thing about living in the dispensation of grace. Abraham had to count backwards. 50, give me 45, give me 40, give me 30, give me 20, give me 10. But we live in the dispensation of grace. Amen. We're living under the promise in the last days. Joel said, in the last days, that's where we're living. Saith God, I will pour out of my spirit on all flesh. We're not here tonight off holding God's judgment off. We're praying for revival to be poured out. So I'm not counting backwards to 10. I'm counting forward. Amen. God, would you give us 10? Would you give us 20? Would you give us 30? Would you give us 40? Would you give us 50? Would you give us 60? Would you give us 100? Would you give us 200? Would you give us 300? Would you give us 500? Would you give us 1,000? Somebody want to help me count tonight? Would you give us 2,000? Will you give us 3,000? God, will you give us 10,000? Lord, will you give us every soul in this city? If you're a righteous people, I want you to stand on your feet with me right now. I didn't say perfect. Some of you are like, eh. Hope he's grading on the curve. I'm not grading on the curve. I'm grading on grace. I'm grading on the mercy of God. Hallelujah. Come on, I want you to raise your hands with me right now. There's a neighbor that lives on the right side of you. There's a neighbor that lives on the left side of you. There's a coworker that works in the cubicle next to you. Come on, there's somebody that you've got influence with right now. Listen, if we're going to see the kind of revival that God, it ain't just because we're a righteous church. Yes, it has to start there. But I'm telling you, as long as I'm the pastor here, we're not letting down. We're not. I don't care how much pressure goes. I don't care what laws they pass. We're not letting down. Amen. We're going to continue to strive to be righteous in the sight of God. But now what's got to take place is there's got to be a contagious element that gets in, because 8 ain't enough. We got to get to 10. And the only way we're going to get to 10, we got to start reaching. We got to start reaching. I want us to raise our hands. I want you to pray for somebody that God's going to give you influence with. God's going to give you influence because we got to get to 10. 8 ain't enough. Good church at Living Hope ain't enough. I want you young people, I want our youth group to come up front. I want all of you that are in the youth group to come stand up front. We're going to pray for our youth group. I saw a youth group in the middle of the Bible Belt. I know that's where they were at. But I saw a youth group last week that was reaching their neighborhood. Oh, well, we can't do it here. Don't tell me that. Don't tell me we can't do it. We can do it. But the foundation has got to be righteousness. Every one of you young people has got to love righteousness. Amen. Every one of you has got to love, you got to love the things of God. That's where it starts. And then it's got to be reaching, reaching, reaching for your friends, reaching for the lost souls. I want us to stretch our hands out toward this youth. It ain't all on them. Okay, don't think we're passing the buck. It's got to be our youth group. It's got to be all of us. We can get so comfortable just coming to church because we got the Acts 2:38 message and we've repented and we've been baptized and we've been filled with the Holy Ghost and we're living an overcoming life. That's great, righteous church, but that's only the beginning. There's got to be a reaching church tonight. There's got to be a reaching people. I want you to pray with your neighbor right now. God, give us a contagious atmosphere. Give us a contagious element. Come on, Daniel, when you got up there in that college and you spoke for Jesus, that was contagious. There were people you talked to that probably never heard that before. That was contagious. I want to ask, is there anybody that would come down here and say, this is my place? This is my place. Good old Southern Maryland. This is my place. This is where God has positioned me. This is where God has me. This is where I've got influence. Don't wait until you get to Zohar. Don't wait until your next opportunity comes. Do something with where God has planted you right now. Intercede. Come on, God brings salvation to our city. God brings salvation to our high schools. I pray for Great Mills High School. I pray for Leonardtown High School. God, I pray for Choptank High School. Lord, I pray, God, for Riken. I pray for Patuxent. Lord, I pray, God, for King's Christian Academy. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for middle schools, Spring Ridge and Calvert. Lord, I pray, God. Hallelujah, Lord, I pray for the middle school, Spring Ridge. In the name of Jesus, I'm interceding right now. I'm interceding. I'm standing in the gap. Why? Because this is my place. God, would you spare this place? If you could find a righteous church, would you spare this place? If you could find a reaching church, would you spare this place? If you could just find 10. If you could find 10. God, would you save this city if you could find 10? Would you pour out your spirit on all flesh if you could find 10?
Sometimes it is easy to start on your destination without knowing the exact path that it takes to get there. To get to our destination, we need to follow the one who knows our predestined path. Be sure to subscribe and watch us. Also, visit us at www.livinghopemd.com.
So I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus. I'm gonna wait on you, Jesus.